שלום, ערב שבת שלום, פרשת וירא. So actually I happen to like these kind of impromptu shiurim. I'll tell you why, because there was something that was brought up among the Talmidim yesterday, and I decided to kind of elaborate on it and delve into it a little bit more, because it's a concept that is very commonly thrown around, and especially during the winter. Hands down, the hardest tefillah of the day, especially during the winter. Mincha. But it's in the middle of the workday. Sometimes a person has to run out. So this doesn't only have to do with mincha, obviously, but you know, especially with regards to the dinim of tashlumin, which is that the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, Daf Kaf Vav Amud Bet, Daf Kaf Zayin, speaks about the laws of a compensatory prayer. Which means that there are certain times where a person, for whatever reason, didn't pray. Let's say a person was shogeg, ones, person had a situation like that, and he didn't pray as a result of whatever happened. He's allowed to make up that tefillah. It's called tefillah tashlumin. Everybody's well aware. And the halacha is that tefillah tashlumin, there's many, many halachot that refer to tashlumin. With regards to which tefillah comes first, with regards to the order of the tefillah, many such halachot. But today I want to speak about specifically, which is also a sa'if in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kufchet, which is the dinim of tashlumin, who is eligible for tashlumin. We know that in general, this is the consensus of the poskim agree. Now, not to say, let's say a person didn't pray b'mezid. Okay, let's say a person didn't pray b'mezid, which means on purpose. That everybody agrees is not eligible for tashlumin. Whether or not he can still pray b'torat nedava, the Beit Yosef brings down many rishonim that he can still pray nedava. But tashlumin does not apply to mezid, which means that if a person purposely, inadvertently missed the tefillah, he's not, well, we're going to get there in a second. But he's not eligible for tefillah tashlumin. So in order to be eligible, it has to be either anus, which is a situation beyond the person's control. Obviously, if he was sick, or if, let's say, the place wasn't clean, and he couldn't get it, that's onus, that's bevadah. The question is, shogeg versus mezid is a pretty broad term. So we want to kind of zero in today on what does it mean, shogeg versus mezid for tefillah tashlumin, because that will determine, now, we spoke about what happened. If a person falls asleep, what happens if a person could have woken up, but he didn't? What happens if a person was too tired to? What happens if a person could have woken up, but he didn't because he went to sleep so late the night before? All of these things and more, is that considered eligible for tashlumin or not? Tashlumin is not some sort of joker card. They say, oh, not in the mood right now, tashlumin, I'll do it later. It doesn't work like that.
What if we missed this month's tefillah, but it's still Shacharit time.
It's still Shacharit time. Then b'vaday, you're not eligible for tashlumin. Still before Chatzot, you're still able to pray tefillah Shacharit. Even though you don't have Shacharit tefillah b'zmana, you still have Shacharit tefillah. You're still able to pray Shacharit until Chatzot. So that's the shayla.
At least that's not disgusting, but it's tameh. Let's say graveyard.
You can't daven there.
You can't?
You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to daven a tefillah in a cemetery because of lo'ayg l'arash.
What if you can pay it hourly?
That's another thing. There's a whole Gemara that speaks about for those who are paid hourly, they're allowed to take off, but only minimal time for tefillah. In those times, they would pray something called havininu, which is tefillah tzara. Nowadays, we don't have that because people let their employees take off. It's understood that bosses let their employees take off. They pray an entire tefillah. That doesn't mean your tefillah mincha should take 2.5 hours. Tefillah mincha takes about 15, 20 minutes, give or take, zeh shalom. Lo pachot, velo yotir. Yeah. What? Could be, that could also. Could be. Now listen carefully. There is a very interesting Nimukei Yosef in Masechet Bava Kama that the Bet Yosef over here brings down. The Nimukei Yosef quotes the Ramah, Rabbeinu Meir HaLevi Abun Afya, is in the same generation as the Rambam and the Rambam. He says, the Adam anus la'inyan shechecha. He says, the Gemara says over there, that a person is considered anus when he forgets. When a person forgets, he's considered anus. And therefore, first he says, He wants to apply that concept to tefillah as well. Let's say a person forgets to daven. Yeah? It's not the most Jewish thing to do. A yid doesn't forget to daven. But sometimes even a yid forgets. I'll tell you a story. One time, Baran Zichron Bracha, when he was learning, his wife, the Rabbanit Aliyah Shalom, used to bring him dinner. He was sitting at his desk. So she said, come eat dinner. So he said, a few minutes. So she saw a bunch of times after that didn't happen, she realized that he wasn't coming to the table. So what did she start doing? She started bringing him a plate of dinner to his learning desk. So he said, so you can eat here. So when she used to bring the plate, he also wouldn't realize and he would just keep learning. So she would have to stop him, you know, take a few minute break and eat and then go back to learning. She said, no problem, five minutes. At the end, she gave up on him. She went to sleep, whatever it was, very late. And then the next morning, many times it happened that she came back and the plate of food, dinner, was still on the table for breakfast. So she asked him, she says, why didn't you eat? Why didn't you eat dinner? I told you to take a break and eat. So innocently and sincerely, he would look at her and tell her, I forgot. So you understand, some people forget things in life. Depending on our priorities, that's going to determine what we forget. Maran Zichron Bracha forgot to eat. Sometimes it happened also, Chaim David told me a bunch of times, that on Lin Shabbat, he woke up, he was in the same position that he was all night, on the morning of Shabbat. So he asked the Svar, Abba, you didn't go to sleep last night? Shabbat, he says, I forgot. Forgot to go to sleep. Maran Zichron Bracha forgot to go to sleep, he forgot to eat. And he forgot, because he was involved in learning. Other people forget other things. Now the shayla is, so the question becomes, how do you look at forgetfulness with regards to tefillah? At first, in Mukhev Sefer, forgetfulness is considered onus. And therefore, based on that, should you be eligible for tashlumin if it's an onus, if it's considered an extenuating circumstance, forgetfulness, then you should be eligible for tashlumin. But then he says, he says, I don't want to apply this concept to tefillah. Which means that based on this, what would be the halacha? He says that based on that, you wouldn't be eligible. Now the Beit Yosef brings that, and he says that his first opinion, his first thought process is the correct one. That forgetfulness, even with regards to tefillah, is considered onus. And he says a very interesting thing. V'lam mikre mezid ela He gives a very interesting description, definition la'alacha, what's considered mezid with regards to tashlumin. He says when you don't pray, bishat nefesh, which means uncaringly, when you don't have any tirda, when there's no, you know, when there's nothing on your mind, when there's nothing weighing you down. So now he just opened the door, which based on this, according to the Beit Yosef, when a person forgot, was I mevatel the tefillah wantonly because I don't care? No, I forgot. When a person fell asleep, whatever the reason for falling asleep is, does that mean that you don't care and then you fell asleep? Even though what happens is another interesting challenge. Let's say a person, if he oversleeps down, then it seems like that's another machlokah. By the way, not all the person agree. The moruk tzi'ah, Adon Yabez, Rabin Yaakov, Emden Ben Tzavi. So he writes in Moruk Tzi'ah Nisiman, he says falling asleep is not considered an illness. He argues, but the Beit Yosef and all the other posts are tamei on him. Says from the Gemara, it seems that Shena, the Gemara calls in Masechet Yoma, onis Shena, when a person's sleeping. Yeah, he's considered an onis. So much so that you're not mechuyav to wake up a person for Kriyat Shema and Tefillah if you see him sleeping, especially not your father or your levi. It's considered a lack of tibud avayim unless they specifically told you or you know for sure that they want you to, since the person in that situation is considered anus, you have no right to wake them up. Therefore, the question is, now, that being said, la'alacha, now, be'emet, interesting that the Ben Ish Chai writes in Parashat Mishpatim, Shana Aleph, Ot Yud Aleph, the Ben Ish Chai writes, that when a person forgot to pray, if he forgets The Ben Ish Chai says that when he does tashlumin, he should do tenai nedala. That if I'm obligated to pray, so this should be tashlumin. And if I'm not obligated to pray, this should be a voluntary prayer. You're allowed to pray tashlumin. But here's the issue. The Maran Zichronon Brachan Alichot Onam disagrees with Ben Ish Chai. He says, Halacha is like the Beit Yosef, Halacha is like the Shulchan Aruch. I'll read to you from the Shulchan Aruch. And he says, it's really considered an onus. And therefore, when it's really considered an onus, when you do the tashlumin, you don't need to make a tenai nedava. What's the nafkamina, whether you need a tenai nedava or not? It's only midat chasidut to make a tenai nedava. There are certain days where you can pray tefillat nedava. Like when?
Shabbat
v'yom tov, you can't do tefillat nedava because there's no korban nedava on Shabbat v'yom tov. Therefore, according to the Ben Ish Chai, if a person forgot to daven on Shabbat according to him, according to the Chesed La'alafim, Ben Ish Chai Kapachayim, they would not be eligible, since he says you have to make a tenai nedava on Shabbat v'yom tov, you can't make a tenai nedava, therefore you can't do the tashlumin either. But according to Maran Zichrono Libracha, who is Medayek from the Beit Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch, that really don't even need a tenai nedava, and you are, according to the letter of the law, eligible for tashlumin, can you do tashlumin on Shabbat v'yom tov? Bevadai. So therefore, according to him, argues on the Ben Ish Chai, says, no, you don't need... Tanai nedava is a nice midat chasidut. But nafkamina la'alacha on Shabbatot v'yamin tovim. When you don't have the option of tanai nedava, then you can still pray without it. That's the halacha with regards to, and aritiru, language of the Shulchan Aruch. Maran says, mi shelo yitpalel be'od sheyesh lo zman yitpalel, mipne shesabur she'adayin yishael lo zman achad sheyidmor oto ha'esek shu mitasek bo, u'ben kach abrano asha'a. Yeah. He says, Maran says, let's say a person was involved in something and he thought that by the time I finish, I'll still have time to pray, but he miscalculated. By the time he finishes whatever he was involved with, his man tefillah pains. Says Maran, he says, Meforash, Chashuvim Anusim, V'yesh Lahem Tefillah V'yesh Lahem Tashlumim. They have Tashlumim, which means what? Let's say a person was sleeping. He's thinking, okay, even if he wakes up, let's say, here's another interesting challenge. Let's say a person set an alarm clock for tefillah. The alarm clock goes off. You hit snooze, you fall back asleep, and then you wake up, it's after his month, you know, you miss his month, you know. What's that like? Is that mezid or onus?
Onus. It's there.
Remember, you hit snooze.
Yeah, but it's more like you know there's a chance that you'd oversleep again.
By hitting snooze, you know that you might oversleep, but in your mind, you're not doing it by mezid. In general, unless the person's thumb doesn't care, if a person hits snooze, what is his kavanah?
He's super tired.
I hope to wake up in a few more minutes and I'll still catch my tefillah. What happened is he was overcome by the shana, by the miss, and then he goes back to sleep. That's the So according to the you're yotzei, you would still be eligible for tashlumin. That's with regards to the four. Let's say a person is out, whatever it is, he's up very, very, very late at night. And he could have gone to sleep earlier. Now he knows that as a result of coulda, woulda, shoulda, going to sleep earlier, and now he went to sleep very late, there's a very big chance that he's going to miss tefillah the next morning, and bam, yet the next morning he oversleeps and he misses tefillah. If he went to sleep at 3, 4 in the morning. What's that about? Eligible for tashlumin or not?
It depends on why he's up, right? He's up harder, like, he shouldn't be. He's up very poor, or he's tested.
Let's say, we're not going to let the rush out. Let's say he's up partying. In somewhere that's
wedding.
Not inappropriate.
He had a wedding.
Huh? Exactly. Wedding. The same. Wedding is also a mitzvah. But he could have left earlier. He could have gone to sleep earlier. But let's say his time is home, battling. Let's say he's home, just wasting his time. You know, huh?
It's more mizid.
It's not mizid. Still not mizid. Why?
Building a bookshelf.
Because the guy still wants to dive in the morning at the right time. Now, what are you going to tell me? He went to sleep too late. So what? But he was still in the situation in the morning when he missed the tefillah. He was still in the situation of onus. He was still in oneshina. He was still sleeping. Unless the guy was wide awake. Okay, listen. Let's say the guy was wide awake. And you see, no, it doesn't matter. Whenever the time is for tefillah, just wasting his time. No, I don't want to. He wasn't. That could already be a mizid. If he was involved with something, especially sleeping, whatever it is, that constitutes, according to the Beit Yosef, it does constitute a onus, and or at least the shogeg, and still eligible for tefillat hashlumin even without tenai nedava. What do you say?
Onus versus shogeg.
Onus.
No, onus versus shogeg. What tactics?
Onus is a situation beyond his control. Shogeg is, it wasn't beyond his control, but he accidentally missed his mark.
So I'm saying doesn't like forgetting or like not realizing what you should get, no?
That's it.
So I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Unless it's not real.
So sleeping is more of an onus because you're not in your full capacity when you're sleeping.
Yeah. Sometimes I've heard this happening to people. It's like they were busy all night. They couldn't pray. Okay. And they get back home and they're like insanely tired. Right? So but they remember they have to pray RV, yeah. But they're very tired. They go to sleep knowing they're going to do Tashlumin later, even though they're very tired to pray right now.
So listen, if you are, that's also not a situation of mizi. As long as there's something that's right now, the guy is so utterly exhausted that he mamash cannot pray the chavana. Can't do it. Not in a situation where he can pray. There are people like that that are, you know, some people have hatzolah shifts during the night. Yeah. They have all nighters. So a lot of them, what they do at the end of their shift, they go catch the nits and then they go on and they go take a nap. But a lot of people at the end of the shift, they're just so exhausted. They say, you know what? Let me lie down for a few minutes, and then I'll wake up and pray shacharit later. And the next thing you know, alach, it's already zman shel ne'ilah. Yeah. So what do you do in a situation like that? That's considered because the guy was in. If he could have and he could have handled it, and he said, you know what, I'm not interested right now. That maybe is a little bit more cuddle than this. But if not, then you have a problem. Now here's another interesting situation. In terms of tashlumin, let's say there's another very common situation, especially for tefillat mincha during the day. A person misses a tefillah because of parnasa circumstances. Because of work. Yeah. So,
you know. He lost his job or just
lost his job? No, not losing his job. Not losing his job. He doesn't. Many times a person's in the middle of a deal, a meeting, some sort of work, whatever. And as a result, it doesn't have to be mincha. That's just the example, the most relevant example. You missed the tefillah, you're mevatel tefillah completely, you lost the tefillah because you're in the middle of working. So, the Bet Yosef also quotes the Terumat Adeshin that says that when a person is tarud le parnasato, when a person is, tarud means burdened by some sort of parnasa situation, it's still considered a shogeg, and it's still eligible for tashlumin. Remember, what did the Bet Yosef say before in order to be considered mizid? She'at nefesh, that you're not praying the tefillah, you're being mevatel the tefillah because you just don't care. If you ask a guy who's in the middle of the work day and he's in the middle of an important meeting, whatever it is, you stop the clock right now and you ask him, why are you not praying right now? Because you just don't care or because you're busy with something and you just don't want to lose it? Ask him. He says, of course I care. That's why I'm even thinking of tashlumin. I don't feel like I can stop right now. Tumat Adeshin says, Meforash, that's okay. But Yosef says, that the Rambam who says that when a person is tarud means burdened, he's still eligible for tashlumin. The Rambam didn't differentiate what that burden comes from. It could be a burden from a bunch of different things, including parnasa. Therefore, the Bet Yosef holds, based on the Tumat Adeshin and the Rambam, that if a person misses an entire tefillah, as a result of being engaged in parnasa, not necessarily condoning it, but if it happened, he's eligible for parnasa.
When something else, he's tarud, he's playing basketball, he's in the middle doing a puzzle, he's doing a job over there, could be tarud in other things. I mean, if the definition is he really wants to take it out,
it has to be burdened by something significant. Let's give a very extreme example. The guy's in the middle of watching TV, okay? Which is completely asur. But the guy's watching TV, and he's in the middle of what he considers a really good gehinnam. So he can't pull himself away from the gehinnam. He says, Zman tefillah is passing. But he's getting to the climax of the gehinnam. The fire's turning up. So now he says, I can't leave the fire. Right? He needs to get well done. Now, by the time he finishes the gehinnam, now Zman tefillah is already over. What do you consider that? He's also tarud. But he's tarud b'gehinnam. That doesn't give you, that's bevadai considered, what do you call that? That's mezid. That bevadai does. So the same thing with playing a game. These are, when we speak about tirda, when we speak about being burdened, even with mundane things, but the things have to be significant. Parnasa is significant.
Is it subjective or objective? For the person who comes, I don't know, it's the middle of the finals, baseball or football, whatever the final. And for him, it is on a subjective level. So for sure that we cannot leave.
That sounds to me like Mizzy. That very much sounds to me like Mizzy.
What if it's like exercise? Person's in the middle of exercising. It's very important to him. And he has all the time to do it.
He has all the time. And you down. So that maybe he's more cut open the shogun.
He's in the middle of learning over there. So much into it. I know time is passing, but they really have to finish.
Okay, that could be a tarud also. Now, wait one second. Before we get off of the panasafin, I do want to tell you that there some acharonim give a chiluk that it depends. Some want to say be'emet, the chesed la'alafim, ben ishchai, kafachayim, they only say that this halacha that the Bet Yosef says that when you're tarud with panasaf, you're still eligible for tashlumim. That's only when a person was concerned that he would lose from his principal amount. Let's say he made an investment or whatever, and he's afraid that if he doesn't deal with it, he's going to lose from the principal. That, okay. But if a person knows that he's not losing from principal, and he's just working now, he's in the middle of whatever it is because he doesn't want to lose from profiting, says the Ben Ish Chai and many other poskim, you're not eligible for tashlumim. Why? Because over there, that's not considered parnasa. That's considered just extra credit. Now, one second. The Rama, interestingly, in Siman Resh Mem Chet, in Hilchot Shabbat, when it speaks about boarding a ship within 3 days of Shabbat, we know that you're not allowed to board a ship within 3 days of Shabbat. There's five reasons in the Rishonim why not. There are only certain situations where you're allowed to, and the Shulchan Aruch says, Letzorech Mitzvah. Okay, Letzorech Mitzvah, on Erev Shabbat, if you're sailing, Letzorech Mitzvah, you're allowed to.
Ow!
No.
Whoa.
That was
my entire rest in me.
Are these applicable today?
One second. I don't know what just happened. Okay, we're good.
Meet everyone.
I used to say during COVID.
Yeah. During that power vested in me.
During COVID, I used to say the power vested in me. I hereby mute you all. Now. Yeah. Emir.
What's it's not? You have to make a tonight.
No, listen to this. So now the Rama over there in Rishmeh Chet says, what about if a person sailing for Panasa? He quotes Rabbeinu Tam as saying that even when a person sails for Panasa, that's also called Tzorech Mitzvah. So what do you see from here? That it's set, and the poskim are midayek from Rabbeinu Tzitzmachlok, the poskim over there also. Oh, not only when a person doesn't have what to eat and he's sailing to make ends meet, to have what to eat, even if he has what to eat and he's setting sail to make Panasa, you know, when you talk about earning Panasa today, by most people, we're not talking about, you know, getting a slice of bread. When we talk about earning parnasa in general, and this is what Polsky meant, what does parnasa mean?
Not only.
Profit. You want to make more. And yet, Rabbeinu Tam still considers it Tzorech Mitzvah. And therefore, Be'emet, Maran Zichrono Lebracha, in Halichot Olam, also disagrees with the Ben Ish Chai on this point. And Ben Ish Chai Ot Tedvav in Parashat Mishpatim says, no, from the Bet Yosef, you see that there is no difference between whether you're afraid of losing principle, or if you're afraid of losing profit, whatever it is, if you were engaged in that, because guess what? Even when a person is engaged in profit, especially in a day and age like today, a person's got to hustle. You have to hustle to make a buck. Now, in order to do that, even if it's you're profiting a buck, but at the end of the day, hustling sometimes comes with, you know, coming with the territories. A person's going to be, in Yiddish, it's called fatracht. Fatracht means that a person's, you know, is consumed. And can't think outside of what he's doing
business,
right now.
Business.
Uh-huh, your occupation. Why is it called an occupation? Because you're occupied. Yeah. It's a good thing to be occupied, but at the end of the day, sometimes there's a difference between being occupied and preoccupied. You know what the difference is? Occupied is good. Preoccupied means that you are overly vested in this thing. Now again, the poskim do bring down Tumat Adeshin that the Bet Yosef quotes here does say that even when a person stands to lose from principle, he should still not be mevatel tefillah because of that, by walking away. But that's a nisayon. If a person in his mind, that's lechatchila. Forget about what's his name right now. Forget about the prophet, the experts. But even for principle, if a person thinks in his mind that he stands to lose, nevertheless, what's the halacha? Preferably, stop. Walk away, go pray and come back. A person will never, ever, ever lose by going to daven. Ever. Badukum nuseh. You walk away from a meeting, from a deal. Not walk away, but take a break in order to pray. Badukum nuseh. I've seen it time and time again. Preferably minyan. But you do. If you can't get a minyan, nefachot yachid. You will not lose as a result of taking a break in order to pray. But for some people, for many people, it's a big nisayon. You don't want to, some people have a hard time walking away. So now, over there, at the end of the day, la'alakha ul ma'aseh, da'at manan tachonu b'racha, in alichot olam, da'at ha'gaon chacham David, and al-chab ra, they all say, against the ben yishayin kafachayim, and they say that even if a person was only afraid of losing profits, and because of that, he didn't stop working, or he didn't walk away from his computer, or from his meeting, or from whatever it is, la'alakha is still, that he is eligible for, he's still eligible for, what's his name, Tashlumin, even without Tanai Nedava. If he wants to be super machmir, he can make Tanai Nedava to be Yotze the other Shitot, but Meikar Adin, you don't really need that.
Okay, does the Minish Chai particularly say that Shabbat and Yom you're not eligible, or is it just a good without Hasidut? I mean, you lose nothing out of keeping in mind that it's Tanai during the weekday.
You're not allowed to make a Tanai Nedava on Shabbat.
Right. So
it doesn't work.
Tanai
Nedava is worthless on Shabbat because Nedava is forbidden on Shabbat.
But does it specifically say that you're not allowed to be mashlim or it's understood?
No, he says when you cannot be mashlim and you're not eligible for tashlumin, Tanai Nedava won't help you. Whereas during the week, let's say there's a machloket, whether or not you're eligible for tashlumin, the solution of choice is to make Tanai Nedava because then you cover your bases. Nevertheless, on Shabbat, Tanai Nedava won't help you on Shabbatot Yamim Tovim because you can't make it. There is no nedava b'shabbat yom tov, so that doesn't work. So, Rabotai, we'll take a break for a moment. We'll just up this and then start something on the parsha. Michael, what am I doing?
Hey, Rabbi, I had a question before. When the Jews in Mitzrayim, directly this parsha, Jews in Mitzrayim,